Hola, ¿qué tal? Lunaticoin here speaking. Well, Micropod during the COVID outbreak. Not to speak about COVID. This one is to speak about a bad news that we received a few days ago, the 24th of April, when Ruben published a statement saying that Bitter was closing due to the implementation of AMLD5, the new European directive for anti-money laundering. It's a nice talk with Ruben to know why Bitter is stopping and which are his thoughts on this new kind of regulations that are making small financial businesses impossible to work. Before I let you with the podcast, big thanks to Hodl Hodl and Bitterfield, who are the sponsors of my Spanish show. Nothing else to add, so let's get into it. Good evening, Ruben. How are you?
Hey, good evening. I'm good. How are you?
Good. We were here off podcast commenting like COVID situation and so on, but it's good. I think I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel already. So yeah, optimistic and good.
Good.
As good as you can be, I suppose, during this situation we are living. But Ruben, thank you first of all for being here in this also. You are not only living the COVID situation; you are also living a special situation with your company, with Bitter. Today is 5th of May, and the 24th of May, so not even 2 weeks ago, you published an announcement that Bitter was stopping its activity. So let me ask you, what happened and how is Bitter?
So it started, let's say, July 2018, the European Union had drafted the new anti-money laundering directive. It's called AMLD5. You've probably all heard about it. And then it takes a couple of years before this EU directive, it's turned into national regulations. Mm-hmm. So in the Dutch case, this was a long process. And since December 2019, it was clear what the regulations would look like, and it passed the parliament. So it went into the Senate to discuss. And then my questions were raised like, this looks like a lot more than in the European directive. So a lot more regulations than what is advised by the European Union. Mm-hmm. And I got a bit hopeful, let's say, by the Senate, because you can follow all the questions they raised to the Ministry of Finance, like, but have you considered this? And it looks like it's more explicit than European regulations. Or is that okay? Do we really want that? So I was like, somebody is paying attention. That's good. But then about a month ago, let's say, the Senate actually did pass the law. So that means that there's no way back. It will be implemented. And the biggest difference between the European directive and the Dutch regulations is the requirements that the Dutch Central Bank, which is the body that's going to license Dutch Bitcoin companies, that they put on these kind of companies. And then mainly in terms of like compliance and internal control and reporting and audits and all this stuff that you kind of expect for bigger companies. Let's say you are a company of 100 employees or more, or you are listed on the stock exchange then, or you are a bank, for example, then there's all these regulations to see if you can properly lead a business, if you are the type of person that is qualified to do this, all these kind of very bureaucratic rules, let's say. So those were added in the Dutch regulations for Bitcoin companies. As far as I know, Maybe also Finland is a bit like this, but other European countries, they've not gone this way, and they've just said like, okay, if you offer Bitcoin services, be it either a custodial wallet or a exchange, then you need to register with some sort of governmental body in the country. Mm-hmm. But there's no, like in Holland, there's this whole test that you need to fulfill, and they're not supposed to call it a license. They're still calling it a registration, but it really is a license. Also, without the license, you're not allowed to operate this kind of company. So, yeah, it doesn't really feel right to me.
So, basically, if the directive, the European directive, was to be implemented with the recommendations, Bitter would have continued as it used to.
Yeah, exactly, because I'm still not a big fan of the directive because it kind of puts the pressure on Bitcoin companies to act like a bank and comply with KYC AML regulations. But I thought like it is what it is. This was to be expected. At the end of the day, it is a financial institution that you're kind of running, so AML KYC makes sense. Mm-hmm. I already implemented like one of these KYC providers into Bitter. So I was working on this, but then the whole like documentation and describing every process in your company, and I was just like, I can't do this. Like I'm just by myself. Who is going to be my compliance officer? Sorry, go ahead.
No, because at the end, even before, no, like Bitter was doing, like I call it when I was talking with the Spanish guys, it's kind of like an indirective KYC, because you were only asking for email, telephone, and Bitcoin address. So no data involved there. But then with the bank account of the customer, you could have all the data that was necessarily. The only thing is that you were not the one holding it. It was like my bank in origin, the one to provide to the authorities if it was needed, no? Yeah. All that information. So it is a bit surprising that, a Spanish lawyer told me something like, yeah, basically as they are afraid and they don't want to accept these new technologies, what they do is to create more rules and more rules and more rules. So basically you decide to stop.
This is exactly how it feels like to me, because on the day before I decided to stop, there was an article in one of the Dutch newspapers how the Dutch central bank, same authority control, like regulating Bitcoin companies, is also experimenting with a central bank digital currency, like a digital euro kind of. So I'm like, okay, you guys clearly have an agenda to push here. Like if you're working actively on your own digital currency, it is in your interest to make it as hard as possible for Bitcoin's adoption. So for me, it feels also from like a level playing field, like fair competition, that's supposedly very important in the European Union. It just doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right at all. So basically, even you got to the point to consider implementing even more KYC if necessary. But what made you stop and decide to stop was all this bureaucracy and also the responsibility that you would have to have under the new regulation?
Yeah, more the bureaucracy than the responsibility. Like I fully understand that like dealing with passport information, it's super sensitive. And I would prefer not to take the responsibility. I prefer to keep, as I said in the article that described the shutting down of Bitter, like I would prefer that you keep your passport and residency data with your bank, because that's an institution that you already trust with keeping your money. So obviously you should be okay with them having your personal data. At the same time, what also worries me is that as of these AML D5 regulations, Bitcoin companies have the responsibility to report suspicious transactions to a financial intelligence unit in your country. And this I mean, it doesn't really make sense because the money from customers in Bidr, it's coming from a bank account. So that bank has a full picture on what you're doing with your money, how it comes in and how it goes out. As for a Bitcoin company, well, from some people, I get 200 euros a week and that's normal. For some other people that are maybe a bit more wealthy, I get 5,000 euros a week. How am I supposed to know if something is suspicious? Like, your bank has a much more complete picture on you than any Bitcoin company. So for me, it also doesn't really make sense to put Bitcoin companies under these AML schemes.
How are you supposed to know from the Netherlands that a Spanish citizen is earning good euros or bad euros? No, at the end, European, it doesn't feel like, yeah, of course, there are services that will charge you a good money to give you this compliance. Of course, I know I don't want to be naive on this, but this is leading me to another question I wanted to ask you, because you, as you said, you are self-employed with Bidr and it was a one-man company. So employer and employee is the same person there.
Yeah.
It was your main source of income?
Yeah, my main and only one.
Okay. So
I spent 3 years building this, basically 2 years without any salary because I had so few customers and you need to, I mean, it's hard to build a Bitcoin company because nobody grants you the reputation, like you have to earn it. So by providing a good service, I think over time, more and more people were happy about my services and they were like recommending it to friends and family. And as of, I would say maybe, let's say September last year, 2019, it was really doing well and I could easily make a living out of this, but that took me 2 years.
Do you think then, this is related with what we were speaking, do you think then that these new directives and the ideas of adding more regulation and bureaucracy will kill small financial businesses?
Oh, absolutely. So one could consider myself lucky in the sense that I was already operating a Bitcoin company. So and I was making money with it, so I could potentially pay for the registration fee and the lawyers and everything to deal with it. But imagine starting a company. Like I spent around 16,000 euros before I could even start my company because I had to build software. So imagine on like starting a Bitcoin company, not only do you have to pay somebody to make your software and to like start operations, but you also need to pay the government like roughly 15,000 euros before you can even get started. That makes it virtually impossible for anyone to just start a company. Like you need to have investors, you need to have some funding and a couple of people on the team before you can even start. So that makes it very, very unattractive to start a Bitcoin company. And I feel like this is exactly their point. And it's only going to get worse because now the FATF has made some new recommendations and usually they are turned into some sort of regulations sooner but later. And they require then Bitcoin exchanges. If customers of their exchange send funds to another exchange, to then also transmit personal data. Like that is just, it's going to be almost impossible to do this. Like how are small people going to, or how are small businesses going to arise? They probably won't.
They won't.
At least not. So that's kind of my hope. Like at least not in this like onboarding. So from fiat to Bitcoin, that's going to be really hard for small businesses. So I think small businesses will have more success doing a Bitcoin only business, just not dealing with the fiat system.
How do you see the, not asking about you and Bidr, this is going to be my last question, but outside you, what's the perspective that this new directive gives you about the future of for Bitcoin companies?
I think there will be a lot of consolidation. So a few small players getting together as one big one. And if that doesn't happen in time, then we're basically left with Kraken, Coinbase, Binance, Bitstamp, and that's it. Because, I mean, if you're not a big player, then it's simply not possible to deal with all this compliance. And actually, the very worst part of the whole regulation is that it's a national thing. So let's say I'm a Dutch company and I apply for my license in the Netherlands. I can serve Dutch people and I could serve anyone in Europe, but I cannot target them. So for example, I was sponsoring your podcast. Mm-hmm. That could qualify as targeting Spanish people. So I would not be able to do that anymore. Because if I'm doing that, I need to also apply in Spain for a separate license. And if same for every European country. So, I mean, you can just sense that there's an agenda going on to stop Bitcoin business, or at least make it difficult. Because for any other financial institution, there's a scheme which is called EU passporting, which means that if you hold the license in the Netherlands, you can offer your services anywhere in Europe. That applies for banks and brokerages, investment firms, but not for Bitcoin companies. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
This is what happened. No, a lot of Baltic countries have financial companies because they are already part of the Europe. So from there, they can operate in wherever they want, no? But with what you are saying, if only specific for Bitcoin companies, you have to be compliant with the regulation of every European country.
Yes. If you want to target that market. So if you want to put advertisements in the street, if you want to have, let's say, if I wanted to put a bidder website in Spanish, okay, that means you need to have a Spanish license.
With all this, what now for you and Bitter?
I'm still exploring. So at the very least, pretty much every Dutch Bitcoin company was interested in incorporating the Bitter service into their own platform. Mm-hmm. And this could actually be helpful because in a way, most of, like, I think there's about 20 of us in Holland that are offering Bitcoin services. And in a way, it's kind of like everyone is more or less doing the same thing. It's like euros go in, Bitcoin goes out. I mean, the business model isn't that different. So if I were to be one of those companies that do have a license, I can easily do some small tweaks and offer the Bitter service because at the end I have the license for offering Bitcoin services. So whether that's on my own platform or on some other platform, as long as I'm handling the payments as the company with the license, it's okay. So I'm exploring one of those options. But like ideally, I would have loved to continue the service because it was doing really well and I liked doing it. But on my own, that no longer seems feasible. So I will have to look for partners or somebody that's taking over the business.
So we will see somehow, maybe we will see the piggy bank of Bitter. Not broken, as we can see it now on the website. We will see it back together, maybe with some stitches from the battle.
But, I should ask Bitco.
Bitco should do one with stitches, like the phoenix that rises again. And it will be a happy day for a lot of Bitcoiners. I have to say that I got a lot because I was counting. I think it's been something like 26 weeks that I've been very happy to be sponsored by Bitter, and I I work with people that I like. This is like my main, because I want to be comfortable doing explaining things, no, commercial things. And I there is a lot of people that came to me, and very sad people. So people was very happy with the service, but and also let me say that today is 5th of May, and as you said, I read that it will be still working. It was supposed to finish on the 28th of April, but at the end, it's gonna end on the 18th. I think I read.
Yeah, so on the 17th of May at 23:59 okay. Amsterdam time. So because the regulations, they will start on the 18th of May. So for me, this date, it wasn't clear until yesterday when the Dutch Central Bank came out with this news. And I wanted to inform my customers like well in advance so that it's not like, let's say, I wait for the Dutch Central Bank to publish something. And then apparently the next day it already starts or something like this. And then I have to inform my customers all of a sudden, like, oh, actually it's stopping tomorrow. You cannot send money anymore. So I kind of took this window of saying like, okay, the service is shut down on April 28th. But for all these days, it's still been running. And actually I'm still helping people to stack sets throughout this period that either they don't care or they just didn't bother to cancel the automatic payment. but now I can officially say it's going to be May 17th, 23:59 Amsterdam time.
Okay, Ruben. So thank you again for joining in these days that I know that they have to be hectic for you. And yeah,
thank you very much for inviting me.
No, I'll be looking for more news and I'll be waiting for them to see how the stitches come to the bitter peak, the famous one that you were, that was making you happy. In my case, it was mostly Mondays or Tuesdays, waking up and seeing the email and say, yeah, some fresh ads.
I got a lot of those responses. Like people were like some other person said that like you really made my Monday morning get started well. And it's really, on the one hand, it's very sad to have to shut down your own business, but all the positive reactions that I've received after that message was insane. So many emails, so many messages on Twitter and Telegram. So I also want to thank the Spanish community for that, because among the messages were a lot from Spaniards.
So it will reach them for sure. So Ruben, we are in touch and thank you for everything.
Okay, talk to you soon.